My name is Fraser, and on behalf of this church family in Totnes, I want to welcome you, especially if you're a visitor here today. And at this time of year, and as we celebrate Easter, we often welcome visitors to this church. So it's great to see you here this morning. Happy Easter to you. We celebrate because Jesus is alive.
Yes.
Easter is a very special time. An important date on the Christian calendar. It marks the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. On Good Friday, we remember the day that Jesus was crucified, in dying on the cross and taking the punishment for our sins. Jesus opened the way for each one of us to be forgiven, to be reconciled with God, and to receive new and eternal life. And on Easter Day, today, we celebrate the fact that Jesus rose from the dead, defeating the power of sin and death. Excuse me, and opening the way to a relationship with our living, loving Father God. Do you know, we have so much to thank God for. We have so much to celebrate. The resurrection of Jesus is the central tenet of our Christian faith. We've called this Easter day Cross Examination. It's a retelling of the Easter story with songs and with Bible readings and with drama. And we will be cross-examining the High Priest Caiaphas, who had a central role. He was the man responsible, among others, for condemning Jesus to death. You can look out too for Roman soldiers, who witnessed the death of Jesus, the crucifixion of Jesus on the Friday. And you can look out for Mary Magdalene, the very first person to meet the risen, resurrected Jesus, a key eyewitness. But first of all, we are all going to do some shouting and singing. This isn't just a performance from the front, this we are all going to be involved in this morning. The crowds in Jesus' time loved to shout. On Palm Sunday, they shouted, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." 5 days later, they shouted, "Crucify him." And today, we're going to shout, "Hallelujah, Jesus is alive." Okay, we're going to practice that in a moment. We're going to make this these words are our response of praise as we pray to Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let's practice that. Hallelujah, Jesus is alive. 1, 2, 3.
Hallelujah, Jesus is alive.
Excellent. Let's stand as we pray. Father God, we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. Thank you for raising Jesus to life again. We worship you, mighty God. And together we say,
Hallelujah! Jesus is alive!
Lord Jesus Christ, thank you that by your death and your resurrection, you have given us eternal life. We celebrate your victory over sin and death. We celebrate the fact that you are alive forevermore. Together,
Hallelujah! Jesus is alive!
Holy Spirit, guide us into all truth. Breathe the life of Jesus into us today. May each one of us experience the love of the Father. And may Jesus stand among us in his risen power. And again,
Hallelujah! Jesus is alive!
Oh,
the world grows.
It's Friday. Jesus has been betrayed by Judas and arrested by an armed mob sent by the chief priests. Jesus' disciples have deserted him, and Simon Peter has denied all knowledge of him. Jesus has faced a show trial. The crowds have shouted, "Crucify him!" He's been beaten and whipped and abused. Then he has been forced to carry his own cross to the place of the skull. Roman soldiers, ruthless executioners, nail him to a cross.
Soldiers took charge of Jesus, carrying his own cross. He went out to the place of the skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. Here they crucified him. And with two others, with him two others, one on each side and Jesus in the middle. Pilate had a notice prepared and fastened to the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews."
Hey, Cornelius. Three more executions today.
This one's a bit different. You see what Pilate, the governor, has done? He's given him a special notice. Go on, you read.
Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews?
How long did you give this one then?
Oh, 6 hours, I reckon. Provided he doesn't struggle.
Jesus the King. What a name.
Order, order. Name.
Caiaphas.
Occupation.
High priest of Jerusalem.
Do you promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
In the words of that imposter, Jesus of Nazareth, you will know the truth. And the truth, well, yes, I promise, so help me God.
Caiaphas, high priest, you have been instrumental in securing the crucifixion of Jesus of Nazareth on a Roman gallows. Are you satisfied that he is well and truly dead?
Absolutely. Not only satisfied, I'm actually relieved. This matter has monopolized my time and attention for weeks. It was certainly a glorious sight to see Jesus pinioned to the cross. In fact, I was disappointed he didn't last that long. He expired at 3 o'clock this afternoon. At least Roman soldiers know how to execute criminals and troublemakers. This will demonstrate that it does not pay to cross the Sanhedrin.
I thank you for your evidence. This court is adjourned.
It's Friday. Mary, the mother of Jesus, together with John, the beloved disciple, and Mary Magdalene, have been standing at the foot of the cross. They have watched, distraught, as Roman soldiers have manhandled Jesus, as Jewish priests have taunted Jesus. They have watched him die an agonizing death. Throughout it all, Jesus has refused to react to his torturers, instead forgiving them, promising paradise to the dying thief beside him. Obedient and submissive to his Father, his final words are, "It is finished."
It was now about the sixth hour. Darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour. But the sun stopped shining, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." When he had said this, he breathed his last. The centurion, seeing what had happened, praised God and said, "Surely this was a righteous man." When all the people who had gathered to witness this sight saw what took place, they beat their breasts and went away. But all those who knew him, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance watching these things.
Yes, that was me, the centurion, in charge of 100 Roman soldiers, responsible for countless crucifixions. We certainly know how to finish them off, those common criminals. Yet this one, Jesus of Nazareth, was different. I found myself praising God. Me, a hardened military man. Can this Jesus, the one we've executed today, possibly be the Son of God?
Order, order. Resume the hearing. High Priest, Caiaphas, I understand two members of your own Sanhedrin, namely Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea, have requested permission of Pilate to remove the body of Jesus from the cross and carry out a burial. Were you aware that these two had sided with Jesus of Nazareth?
I certainly had my suspicions of them for a while, traitors. There was a rumour some time ago suggesting that Nicodemus had been paying a nocturnal call on Jesus, that Galilean singer. Now my informers tell me that Nicodemus and Joseph have given the body a hurried embalming and laid him to rest. They've placed the corpse in that imposing new tomb, the Joseph owns in the garden for joining the place of execution.
And your reaction, High Priest?
A despicable act of treachery. However, it's of little real consequence now. We have accomplished what we set out to do. That blaspheming impostor of a carpenter is out of the way forever, thanks be to God.
It's Sunday. At the break of day, Mary Magdalene, together with a few close friends, prepares to visit the burial place. She'd been watching as Nicodemus and Joseph laid the body of Jesus in the rock-hewn tomb. She knew exactly where it was. As Mary Magdalene hurries to anoint the body of her Lord with spices, she has no idea that this day of overwhelming grief will turn into a day of unimaginable joy. For the present, her only worry is this: how will I persuade those Roman soldiers on guard to let me anywhere near the place? And how will I roll back the stone from the tomb?
On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you, when he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified on the third day, be raised, and then be raised again." When they heard this, they remembered his words.
So what does that mean? He has risen. I want to know where they put his body. Jesus' death is horrifying enough. Now it seems I can't even give him a proper burial. He must be wondering who I am. I'm Mary. Mary of Magdalene. I was a disciple of Jesus too. Yes, me, a woman. Does that surprise you? And I was faithful. Not running away like most of the men. No, I was standing there watching until the bitter end. Now, how did I come to follow Jesus? I will tell you. I was tormented by evil spirits for years, and one day Jesus came to my village and he set me free. He healed me. He liberated me. I was so grateful that I left everything behind and followed Jesus, went everywhere with him and the men, and together with a few other women I provided for him. I was one of his most faithful followers. I loved Jesus. I revered him. I was devoted to him. He was my master and my friend. And so when they crucified Jesus, I was there standing at the cross with him as he died. Don't abandon someone who's loved you and forgiven you and healed you like Jesus has me. Oh no. So, I wonder what is all this resurrection talk about? Let's see what the 11 brave men have got to say about that.
So, Caiaphas, high priest, a bit of a turnaround, hey? I understand that the body of Jesus has disappeared from its grave. Can this be true?
It's not only true, it's very bad news. I have no idea how it's happened. All I can think is that Jesus and his followers stolen his body. But so far, I've been unable to figure out how on earth they managed to do it. For one thing, I've taken the precaution of having the tomb guarded, just to safeguard against this sort of possibility, of course. And secondly, knowing how badly hit Jesus' supporters were by his death, I was perfectly certain they would not have the slightest further interest in the remains of the man who had deceived them so cruelly.
You say that the guard of soldiers was posted at the entrance of the tomb. Tell me, did they fall asleep on the job, allowing these highly trained undercover agents to penetrate their defenses? It sounds an unlikely story, my friend.
Indeed, it is most perplexing. But what is more fantastic is this. My spies tell me that these disciples of Jesus are saying amongst themselves that their master is risen from the grave and that he's alive again. Herein lies the reason for their stealing the body. No doubt they will start telling the world about this resurrection before long. They must be quite mad. Everybody knows that Jesus is dead. And nobody is going to believe he's risen from the dead.
Caiaphas, anyone with minimal understanding will know that you simply have to find out where they put the body, and then the case is closed. What attempts are you making to discover its hiding place?
Well, I have a large squad of men searching for it as we speak. We shall find it, never fear, and that will deal with this absurd claim that Jesus is raised from the dead.
Sunday. Here's what actually happened. The true story. The women discover that the stone has been rolled away from the tomb. They call Peter and John to investigate, and they find that the tomb is empty. empty, that is, apart from the grave clothes. It's Mary who sees two angels seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. She has no doubt that the body has gone. She is desperate to know where it's been taken. The meeting that follows, Mary Magdalene's meeting with the risen Jesus, Jesus calling her by name, Mary recognizing his voice. This must be one of the most moving and memorable stories of all time.
At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she didn't realize that it was Jesus. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you've carried him away, please tell me where you've put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them I am returning to my Father and to your Father, to my God and to your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that she had these things, and she told them that he had these things to her. On the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. That's my story. The first to meet the risen Lord Jesus. And for those of you who have any understanding of a woman's place in the Jewish court and in society, this is momentous. As a woman, my testimony in a Jewish court is practically worthless. Jesus entrusted me as a woman with the responsibility of passing on this news to the men. To Peter, who denied him, to John, to Joseph and Nicodemus, the secret disciples, and a likely bunch of witnesses we are. Nicodemus is the one who gets me so scared he has to meet Jesus at night. The first to be born again. Stays a member of the Sanhedrin and keeps such a low profile he's almost invisible. Then shows his true colours after the crucifixion by helping to bury Jesus. All I can say is that this is the most credible, incredible, honest to God, incontrovertible gospel truth reality. It's true. Jesus is alive. Yes.
So, we have cross-examined the man who insistently demands that the Pontius Pilate ordering the death of Jesus, and we have heard evidence from the key witnesses. I propose now to adjourn this hearing. If Jesus' followers have stolen his body, then they will not be able to maintain this deceit for very long. If, however, Jesus has been raised from the dead,
and the proof will be seen in the lives of those who follow him. What's this? Okay. And news has, in fact, just reached me. Listen up. These broken men and women, yes, they were grief-stricken and desperately afraid. They are now walking around Jerusalem with an air of confidence and joy. And it seems they can't stop speaking out about the good news of their master. Jesus is well and truly alive. There will be no further cross-examination. This is clearly an open and shut case. I find that Jesus of Nazareth is alive.
Cross-examination. Well, the jury is out. Now you must decide. Did Jesus rise from the dead? We've spent the last hour examining the cross, looking at the events and the people surrounding the cross. And we've celebrated the fact that Jesus is risen from the dead, that he is alive forevermore.
Hallelujah.
The gospel stories speak for themselves. They tell of ordinary men and women, like the centurion, like Peter and John, like Mary Magdalene, people whose lives were transformed by an encounter with the risen Jesus. The story of Mary Magdalene, the very first eyewitness, always has an impact on me, and particularly this morning. At first, she mistakes Jesus for the gardener, but when he speaks her name, Mary, she recognizes the voice. She realizes this is Jesus. And it's the same for you and me. Jesus calls us by name. He knows all about you. He knows everything there is to know about you and me. He knows your name. His call is a personal one. And as with Mary, he's ready to forgive you, to accept you, whatever your story. Your life too can be transformed by Jesus. The Easter story has changed the lives of many, many people all over the world. And there are lots of us here in this church today whose lives have been forever changed by the love of Jesus, including all of us who've had a part in this presentation today. We believe that Jesus is alive today, that we can know him, that we can experience his love. We have put our faith in all that Jesus has achieved by his death and by his resurrection. Paul, the Apostle Paul, wrote to people in Rome just 25 years after the first Easter. This is what he wrote. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. God wants you and me to experience his saving love. Jesus is very much alive, and he offers you life, new life, fullness of life, eternal life today. Take him up on his offer. You'll find that it's the start of a life-changing relationship with our living, loving Lord Jesus. I'm going to invite you to pray a prayer with me as your personal response this morning. The Easter story, the message of the cross, demands a response. And so here's a prayer where we can say yes to Jesus. It's a sorry, please, and thank you prayer. We finish this cross examination and we reach a verdict. So I encourage you to speak out these words after me. If you would like to say yes to Jesus this Easter. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, together. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, that you came into this world to give your life on the cross. You took the punishment for my sin. You gave your life for me. Your death gives me life. I am sorry for my sins. I now turn from everything I know to be wrong. I ask you, risen Lord Jesus, to come into my life. As my Saviour and Lord and friend. I thank you for your free gift. Of forgiveness and eternal life. Thank you, Jesus, that you rose from the dead. And you are alive forevermore. Hallelujah! Jesus is alive! I want to say thank you for celebrating with us all Easter Day. We'd love to pray for you this morning, especially if you've just prayed that prayer and said yes to Jesus. Come and see me, come and see any of the people who've been involved this morning. And we'd love to pray with you. We'd love to give you a copy of a little booklet called Why Jesus. And so that's an important step after we finish this morning. Just of confirming that this newfound faith, this newfound trust in Jesus is something that you can celebrate, we can celebrate this day. We're going to stay after we've sung our final songs for tea and coffee, and we'd love you to stay around, meet someone you've never met before. We're going to be taking up our offering in these last songs, so we're going to invite the band to come and to lead us in those songs. And if you're able to give to God's work in Totnes, that would be great. Let's sing that Jesus is alive, that our Redeemer lives. Here's a prayer of blessing on each one of us. May the love of the risen Lord Jesus draw us to himself. May the power of the risen Lord Jesus strengthen us in his service. May the joy of the living Lord Jesus fill our hearts, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among us and remain with us always. And we say one last time, Alleluia! Jesus is alive!